Welcome to Take on the Lake. I've got a story for you.
Hey everybody, welcome to Take on the Lake with Lake Expo. I'm Nathan Bechtold. Thank you for joining us for this episode. We've got Chris Wilson in the studio. Chris is with Van Chevrolet Cadillac Subaru in Kansas City. He's a Kansas City guy, but he's also a Lake of the Ozarks guy. Right. He is also a Shootout board member, and it's been a busy season and a busy week as we're recording this. We are mere days away from the Poker Run and the Shootout and all those good things. So we're going to talk about all those topics and probably a couple more. Thanks, Chris, for joining me on a busy week here.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Nathan, and thanks, Lake Expo, for having me here to talk about all this great stuff.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So give me just a little background on Chris Wilson. So are you native Kansas Cityan?
Yeah, so no, native North Carolinian.
Oh, no, I knew this. That's right, Wake Forest.
That's right.
Yes,
so,
okay.
Good memory. So yeah, grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, attended Wake Forest University. Played football there, and then I got into the car business, started washing cars. Fast forward, next thing you know, now I'm a Kansas City guy. Got here in May of 21, and so this is our fourth season-ish down here at the lake. We rented a house, I guess, so to speak, for a little bit of time in the summer of 21, and then the next thing you know, we fell in love with it immediately. And then we bought a condo, and now we are homeowners as of November of 23.
Okay.
So, we're just really excited to be part of the lake community as best we can.
That's great. I mean, you are, in a good way, a part of a huge group of people that either discovered the lake or made, like, a bigger move toward the lake in that, like, 2020, 2021.
Yeah, well, I think we fall in that category, quite frankly, because we were living in Minneapolis from 2018 all the way up until May of 21. And, I was an essential worker in the automobile business during COVID. And so I came home from work one day and my wife was like, "You've got to check this out." And it was the viral video that obviously hit national
news.
No
way. The Backwater Jacks video?
Yes.
The Backwater Jacks video brought you to the lake.
It did, because I watched that.
I love it. I love it just because that's such like the narrative. I mean, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
And then here you go. That's a real example.
True example. And I said, I don't know where that is, but I want to go. And my wife's like, "Well, I actually kind of know where it is, because she was born in Fort Scott, Kansas, and grew up as a very small child in Springfield. And then she moved to Oklahoma City." So she goes, "I do know where it is." And I was like, "That is unbelievable." I mean, because I just was like, that's the coolest thing I had ever seen during those really difficult times.
Yeah. The way it juxtaposed with everything that was not happening.
Correct.
At that time was, I think, that was part of what made it so viral. That was so stark. It was like, here, we're carrying on.
That's right. And then so I had an opportunity to come to Kansas City, and I just jumped on it. It wasn't even, let me think about it. I was like, absolutely. And we had some friends in Kansas City. And then we ended up there. And then, you know, I was like, hey, I mean, you know, I want to still check out the lake. So, I mean, we didn't waste any time at all. And, you know, when we rented that house in 21, we had waves of friends come down because I just wanted a little bit of a litmus test. Hey, you know, do the kids like it? Do my friends like it? And then we just fell in love with it. And it was a done deal for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So you were in Minneapolis. You were in the car dealership world there, you were saying.
Yeah. I worked for a public company called AutoNation that are based out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
I'm familiar with that. I think at that time they had 26,000 associates spanning 30 states with a lot of dealerships. And I'd kind of done the corporate grind for them for a long time. And I lived in a lot of places doing this. You know, I was a kind of a turnaround guy fixing dealerships across the United States for them. And I'd lived anywhere from Denver to Seattle to Arizona to Minneapolis. And we were really looking for, you know, a place we could really drop some roots. And I was getting older and I was like, okay, so, you know, move ships. I'm with Berkshire Hathaway Automotive. And so we are a private company, but we have 84 dealerships spanning about 15 states. Pretty flat company. There's only 6,000 associates.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got the, you know, it's Van Chevrolet Cadillac Subaru right out of Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. And then how'd you get connected with Shootout?
Yeah, that's a good story. So, you know, privileged enough that we have a family foundation. It's called the Wilson Family Foundation.
Okay.
But over the last 10 to 15 years of moving around all over the country, I just could really never find a place to make a difference. I couldn't do it. I mean, you know, it was big cities and, you know, I knew that I was in a temporary situation because I was just fixing stores. Right. And so I said, when we came to Kansas City, I kind of still had that mentality. But then when we came to the lake, I said, hey, wait a minute. I think that we can actually try to make a difference down here in some of these organizations or, you know, different charitable organizations that have some issues. So, you know, the first thing I did is I got involved with Wake for Warriors through Marine Max.
Yeah, love that.
Then I got involved in another kind of a first responder golf tournament and did a couple things like that for the first couple seasons, and then kind of heard about Shootout, and I was like, well, wait a minute. This benefits lots of charities. But that being said, I didn't know who they were, right? So I was like, well, if I do this, who's going to be the steward of the money?
Right.
That was important to me, right? Because we have our own, you know, mission and vision, but like I didn't want to just give it to somebody and to say, hey, here you go.
Right.
And so I got in touch with Leah and met her and spent a couple days with her over a period of a week or so to really understand what this was all about.
Mm.
Because I knew it was a boat race and I knew it was the largest unsanctioned boat race in the United States, but I really didn't understand how the charitable part worked.
Right.
So that's how that got started. And so, you know, I made my first donation to the Shootout and said, hey, I want you to be in charge and be the steward of that money for me. And she said, I will put that to good use. And that's how that got started. And then we made our own donation to the Sunrise Beach Police Department and the Sunrise Beach Fire Department. You know, because these organizations obviously get some help from the state, but there are special needs that they don't get help from,
right.
And they look to private donors to help do that.
What did those donations do? What were those earmarked for? What did those help with
yeah, so, you know, Chief Scott Craig at the Sunrise Beach Police Department, they were in need of ballistic vests because, believe it or not, sometimes the officers have to buy their own vests.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was kind of taken back by that. And then, you know, he also asked if we could help kind of mitigate the speeding that goes on in Sunrise Beach. Mm-hmm. So if you go down there and you see the digital signs that
record,
that's us. Sorry about that. So
hey,
every time I'm driving, I'm like, hey, I don't want to get a ticket, right? Because, listen, I mean, you know, I think we can blow through some of these communities too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And then at the Sunrise Beach Fire Department, Chief LaPlatte was like, hey, we're in need of some new brush gear. Our brush gear over time deteriorates. And with the sizable land area that Sunrise Beach has, there's a lot of brush fires.
Right.
We know there are house fires, especially in the off season, but there's a lot of brush fires. So we bought them new brush gear, new helmets, and new headlamps.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Surely we published about that at Lake Expo.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, good. As I said, I usually can remember what we published in the past week or so, and that's about as good as I've got. So that's awesome.
Yeah, great. So, you know, those are the sort of things. And, you know, obviously, you know, Leah asked me to be on the Shootout board. And so that happened this winter. And, you know, hey, little fish out of water, right? Mm-hmm. I listen a lot. I ask a lot of questions. So I don't really have a specific, you know, quote, role. I'm trying to figure all that out because there's been some board members that really understand the Shootout and the impact on the community.
So let's then talk a little about how your work experience, your career, and the skills you obviously had there maybe translate into that. So when you were in, or you still are in car dealership land, but when you were traveling the country to these different places at these dealers, you said you were kind of a store fixer or something. What did that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, dealerships, like any business, they either perform really well or they don't, right? And so most of the time, you know, the dealerships that they asked me to go handle were broke. They had culture problems, they had operational issues, you know, which obviously culminates in profitability and all those other things that are end results. So, you know, I would go into these dealerships with the same people. I never brought a team of people with me. I didn't believe in that. I always felt like that the people that were working there, they had great qualities. They just maybe not had great leadership.
Sure.
You know, and listen, my leadership evolves every day and every year. But hey, I brought some of those core values and processes and fixed those things. So fix the stores. And, you know, how is that applicable with the Shootout? Well, that's a really good question. I'm a people guy. Right. So I have lived in so many different parts of the country, so many different, you know, cultures, you know, like Seattle is majority Asian. So you learn all these things in life where you live. And so I feel like when I'm coming down here to the lake that I probably have a natural ability to connect with people. And, you know, I think that for me, I want to kind of broaden the reach of the shootout. I want to see if I can bring more people from not just the Midwest, but other parts of the country to see what great event we offer in this state.
Yeah.
And try to really make it maybe a top two or maybe a top one attraction, an economic driver for the area, so that we can make sure that, hey, not only can businesses thrive, we want developers to do well. We want to be able to have affordable housing so that we can attract more workers and really turn the lake into a year-round destination.
Yeah.
So big picture.
Yeah, that is very big picture.
Yeah.
I was going to say, man, we can go on any one of those for the next hour.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So when you were traveling stores, I'm curious about that some. What were some commonalities that you came across in business? Things that often it was like, man, you guys got to fix this and then we'll be better.
Well, the first thing I always notice is that it didn't matter what role the individuals at the store had, whether they worked in as a technician or whether they worked in detail or they worked in the office, they all want to be successful. You know, I don't think anybody wakes up and goes to work and says, I want to be a failure today.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like that employees, generally speaking, are people who want to do well.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that keeps me up at night in my business world is like, hey, I want to make sure everybody's making a good living to take care of their family.
Right.
And be able to, you know, have their kids get better education and, you know, fulfill their dreams.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a bigger mission than just fixing the store. So the first thing I always do, I want to get to know you, right? Because some of the stores that I was in were anywhere from 120 associates to 280 associates. I want to know them by name. I want to know all their kids' names. I want them to feel like that they're family. But hey, it can't be an amusement park, you know, where I'm, you know, because I have to charge you admission to come to work.
Right.
But then, hey, we're going to put in processes because I'm going to make you successful if you follow the processes.
Right.
And then we're going to have accountabilities because I'm going to help be held accountable and all the things that kind of run downhill in a business. And then you watch these folks grow and succeed and they get promoted and they get other opportunities. And then by the time my time was up, either 10 months or a year, you know, I was able to turn, quote unquote, the keys over to the next individual to run the store. And hope that the baton, so to speak, was carried forward in the same manner, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it was, and sometimes it wasn't. So it was kind of crushing to see some of those episodes where didn't quite get the right person to hand the baton to. But most of the times, these people were still, and they still contact me,
right?
Which is really fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll see them in an industry meeting, and they'll be like, hey, you may not remember me. I was selling cars at such and such, such and such, but now I'm a manager. I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And I just would turn to them, and I'd be like, hey, you're the one who made it happen. I just gave you kind of the X's and O's,
right?
You know,
right.
And so it's pretty gratifying.
That is cool.
That's
cool. So you mentioned, I mean, you touch on something that I think is really close to the heart for people who love the lake, live at the lake, or even don't live here permanently, but have a second home here, but just are really invested in this place, which is how to strengthen the lake. Like, and when you say that generally, you mean economically, right? It's an interesting conversation to say, how do you strengthen it culturally too? You know, that's a separate but related conversation, you know, because those go hand in hand. I was actually sitting in I'm in a B&I group that meets on Tuesday mornings, and we were going around the room, people saying, what's a good referral for me this week? And so many people in there were saying, I need help. Like, we need staff. And I leaned to the guy next to me, who runs a auto body shop at the lake, and they, of course, are hiring. And I was like, man, it is crazy that anybody needs help at the lake, because I know there are people that could be working. Like, I know there are. And that's not just a Lake of the Ozarks problem. That's like broadly the U.S. cultural kind of weird issue we're having. I have some theories on why that's happening. So all I'm saying is, culture is intertwined with the question of economy, right? Like, and so culture is challenging to fix. Anything's hard to fix. But how do you, what do you see that the lake economy really could use? I mean, we talk about like year-round stuff. I think that's growing, right? I think with everything from like the big splashy stuff that you see, the Outlet Mall and the Oasis, and even though there's been some bumps along the way, I think those are moving in the right direction. But what else, when you look at the lake, do you go, man, it needs these couple, you've lived in a lot of large developed areas. What, if you could wave your magic wand, what would you make happen here?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think some of these, you know, municipalities are doing a really good job figuring out how to attract some business here so that they do have a year-round economic driver. That being said, though, you know, you could argue that, you know, the lake is, you know, will be and could be for some time still kind of a seasonal resort town, which causes some issues, right? And this is my theory on it, which is it's great to see all the development. It's great to see all the houses. It's great to see all the really high-end houses being built. And we're starting to attract a lot of people from different areas that may have picked other states to go vacation or build a home, and they realize that it's just not very affordable, but the lake presents the affordability. Mm-hmm. But that being said, though, you have to be really careful about that demographic running out the demographic that helps sustain that, right? Whether it's laborers in construction, skilled workers, whether it's somebody that works at a restaurant or bar, it could be in the housekeeping, it could be a number of things, right? And if we don't find ways to make housing affordable and jobs that pay well, you're gonna have constant turnover. You're gonna have people that are gonna be like, hey, I worked for 5 months, I'm hitting the unemployment line for another seven.
Right.
And then, hey, listen, that's another conversation, right? So, you know, I think that, you know, is it gonna be like, I think that places like Eldon, quite frankly, is a key ingredient in terms of finding ways to attract manufacturing jobs and other jobs to create sustainable incomes for people. You know, when you kind of look at the lake, as soon as you get off the water, you're like, wow, really changes, you know?
Yep.
And so I know that there's still a lot of, you know, deep planning, economic development planning that's going on. But I think it's important that, you know, that all these municipalities really start, you know, communicating together and working together to try to figure out that riddle. I think the lake looks a lot different in 5 years as it is, especially with the developments that we've got already named and that are known. But I think also that, you know, it could be a caveat where, hey, we could use a really big convention center, right? You know, something that houses maybe 100,000 square feet or 200,000 square feet where we can attract conventions to come down where we have not just a couple hundred people attend something, but tens of thousands of people attend here, you know? And I think the Midwest and the lake in itself is still a hidden gem.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
And I think it's unlimited potential. You know, I did see that the resort tax, I think if I got that right.
The lodging tax.
The lodging tax. I was a little concerned, and I think I still think about that, like if that was like the right move, because it's very hard to lose a couple million dollars and go out there and advertise the lake. How are you going to do that? You know, and so I think that some of that maybe needs to be revisited, because as you see the shootout growing, and I think that it's going to become, I mean, I think that it's got the potential of becoming maybe the number two or the number one economic driver and attraction in the state. But, you know, the reality of it is, you know, the shootout can't alone do that.
Yeah.
It's going to need some partnership and some help from the state of Missouri and others to be able to help push that out there.
Yeah. Good word. I guess I would add to that my encouragement to people who actually like you and like, I mean, there's so many that discovered the lake, have been successful in business, like buy a lake house here, love boating here, and they love that aspect of the lake. I think my encouragement to those folks would be, if this is kind of your community now, really lean in, like love your community and go, you know what? I'm going to invest in this community.
There you go.
Like, because there are people with pockets deep enough that can do things like we're talking about affordable housing. Affordable housing is just such a terrible phrase. I hate every time I say it, but housing that works for all the various strata.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good way to put it.
Because again, everybody knows we have like lots of gorgeous, huge lakefront homes. Great, love them, beautiful. Yep. And then everybody knows we just need so many more starter entry level homes.
That's right.
Reasonably rentable places, stuff like that. And so that's not an easy thing to do. But my encouragement to people that have like capital to invest would be invest in, if this is your community, invest in this community. Yeah. Like, man, there are opportunities there. They may not be as profitable of opportunities as, I don't know, some other random place doing another thing. But I really think that there are profitable opportunities for even things like entry-level housing and things like that at the lake when people get creative. I I've mentioned this before. I love what Rick Ellerman's doing with his kind of cottages that he's building in Osage Beach. I think that's an interesting route. So, like, I think that some people are looking at that, and I hope more do, because there is opportunity. And again, I think that's a way of really leaning in and making the lake your community, like loving on your community and going, man, I'm going to be here. I'm going to connect here and invest here. So I don't know what you think about that, but that's kind of where I go.
No, and I think you're 100% right. And that's why, like, with our family foundation, we've really said, hey, okay, we are going to really take a look at this long term down here and start really looking at organizations outside of the shootout that where we can actually make a really big impact. And it could be in healthcare, it could be in education, it could be in a number of different things. And, you know, so more to come on that, because I'm doing my due diligence. And, you know, and I just feel like that if there are more people out there that, like you said, can lean in and say, hey, because look, I don't want to take anything for granted. I'm so grateful to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for the people that I know here and that we've met, and all of the people that work in the industries of all the things we enjoy using. I'm grateful for all of them. And all I think about is what if they don't come back?
Right.
Then who do we replace them with? Right. And that's one of the things that kind of keeps me up at night down here. It's just like, hey, I'm going to do as much as I can leaning in on this, whether it's through the shootout or on our own. All great topics there.
Yeah. You know? Last thing, because I know I don't want to keep you much longer, but we wanted to talk a little about the big thing this year with you related to the shootout, which is the Cadillac relationship.
Okay.
That is cool. So tell me about that.
So it really started last year, right? Rusty Drewing, who's a friend of mine, and it's Rusty Drewing Automotive Group up there in Jeff City. Mm-hmm. This is technically his primary market area. And so I called him up last year and I said, hey, listen, I've kind of got this thing going on down there at the lake. And I you know, can I get your permission for me to go down there and try to do my own little Cadillac setup? And he was totally encouraging, said, absolutely. So I did that last year. And then as I got to thinking about it, I thought, wait a minute. You know, there's 9 Cadillac dealers in Missouri, and how can we figure out a way to really take the experience to the next level down at the lake? So I spent a couple months on the phone and on Zoom calls with Cadillac marketing executives up in Detroit, and some of them were familiar with, you know, hey, the shootout, yeah, we've kind of heard of it, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that I knew about Cadillac is it's an iconic brand. And it's changing a lot, and they're getting into a lot of different sports. So, you know, hey, Cadillac's the official vehicle, you know, and partner with the Byron Nelson Classic down in outside of Dallas. Mm-hmm. They just announced that they're getting into F1 racing. Mm. Now, think about this. There hasn't been a team added to F1 since 2016.
Mm.
So they are going to have a car in 2026. So I think that's just amazing for them to double down on that, right?
Yeah.
Now, they're not necessarily running their powertrain in the first 3 years, but they will be developing their own powertrain.
Cool.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the U.S. Open tennis tournament. They're the official luxury car sponsor of that. So, you know, I came to him and I talked to him about this. And, you know, obviously we've got a big push for EVs. And look, I'll be the first. I was out on these EVs. And I will say that I'm still a little hesitant because of the charge anxiety, right? But I was able to get Cadillac to consider the event, and they stepped up. So we have 40 EV vehicles down here, 26 Escalade IQs. And if you've never seen one of these Escalade IQs, they are the sexiest, best looking SUV on the road.
I've never seen one. I want to see one.
Well, I got one right outside. Okay. I got to show it to you. So we got 26 IQs. We've got 8 Vistix. We've got some Lyrics, and we've got some static cars that are halo cars, which are performance cars. And so, you know, with a lot of help from Leah Martin, you know, because technically we're the promoter on this, and the company that Cadillac uses is called Jack Morton. Here they are. We got them running around the lake. And they were active last night over at the Hall of Fame dinner, shuttling people. So you're going to see these Cadillacs. They've got Michigan tags on them. They're running around the lake. And they're going to take you from location to location. So there are tents that are set up where you can just go right up. And, you know, Lake Ride Pros is actually the company that's shuttling everybody around.
Oh.
So we've got professional drivers taking these vehicles around. And they have been educated on the vehicle. So you're going to see luxury, you know, meets performance, and couldn't think of a better event,
man,
than the shootout.
That's
right?
Cool.
Isn't
so
that cool?
People are going to get a chance to be shuttled around from where to where, or what's the
parking lots, wherever you park your car, to take you to dog days.
Oh, okay.
You know, going to over to Shady Gators for an event, performance party.
Sweet. So you're not going to be on some, like, you know, giant sweaty.
We didn't have any shuttle vans last night.
Okay.
No, so that was pretty cool. And people commented about that last night, you know.
Dude, that is a level up.
That's cool. And this is going to be a partnership, I think, for many years to come. And so, hey, you know, this is our first time. There'll probably be some hiccups. To give you an example, charging was one of them, right? Because we have, Tesla has four superchargers over at Hy-Vee.
Right.
But that is one of the charging stations that doesn't accept anything but a Tesla.
Okay.
So
there's the Deerberg's ones.
Deerberg's is a good go.
Yep.
McAdoodle's is a go. And then there's a couple, like I call them destination charging places, where we don't want to really go over to the veterinary clinic and take up their chargers. So
that's not right. Yeah.
So we do have power coming. Friday, we're going to have a staff that they have their own mobile charging unit, and they're going to be able to charge the vehicles at night.
Nice.
So, yeah, they've got courtesy car stickers on them. They say the official vehicle of the shootout.
Cool.
On the side of the vehicle, so you'll be able to see them run around the lake.
That's great. Man, that's really cool.
Yeah, we really want to get people the experience. And then there's activations, right? You're going to see them at the street party tonight. You're going to see them over at Shady Gators. You're going to see them at Performance. You're going to see them over at Dog Days. And so we encourage all the listeners out there and the viewers to go ahead and say, hey, I want to ride. Hop in one of these cars. Experience it for yourself. I drove an Escalade IQ down to the lake a couple weekends ago. I drove it all the way down, ran around the lake for a day, and I drove it back on one charge.
Wow. Okay.
So, hey, not a bad deal.
No, that's not bad at all.
No.
Good. Well, man, that's a very cool development. I'm glad you talked about that. Yeah, so people should go to the shootout, and if you get shuttled somewhere, then you're going to be shuttled in one of these.
That's right.
Basically. Yeah. So, yeah, check those out. Cool. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. Thank you for coming on. And maybe we'll probably have to do this again, because I know there's a lot more we can talk about. And I want to hear more about developments with the Family Foundation. I think we could come back and talk about housing and economy and some of those things that I think you could have some insights on. And anyways. We'll call it a day for now. But Chris, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And y'all, if you would do a favor and go subscribe to this show, whether you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Facebook, go follow our page. Or if you're on podcasting apps, would you make sure you subscribe to the show? That would do us a huge favor as we continue to grow the show and have awesome guests like Chris Wilson.
Thank you.
So thanks again. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our audience. And you guys are great. Keep sharing the content and stay anchored. Stay curious, and we'll see you soon.